Well, as we get ready to continue on in our service today, we've got a special gift. I'm going to call this a gift today because usually on a fifth Sunday, we have the gift of Pastor Tarina as she does a message geared towards our kids, and she's usually got some kind of set, and she's dressed up in costume of some sort. But we are giving Tarina the Sunday off from doing that because Pastor Tarina is joining us in our Pastor's Choice series, which is happening in January. And we've asked her to give a big church message. So she is excited and she is working hard on that. We did encourage her. She could still dress up if she wanted to. So I'm not sure what she'll do, but she kicks off our Pastor's Choice series this coming Sunday, the 6th. And so we're excited to see what she's going to bring in that. But in for today, we have a special speaker that's going to be joining us, and it is Tom Henderson. Now, Tom is a friend of mine. I've known Tom for many, many years. I don't know where we first met, but it was
magical.
It was so magical. Yeah,
for sure.
So magical. There was a unicorn involved. It was good. But I've known Tom for years, and I know his heart. He is the founder and the inspiration and the driving force behind Res Gen, which is an incredible ministry. And there's the Men's Summit coming up in January. You already heard Pastor Brian talk about that. We'll share just a little bit more about that. But this vision of bringing people together and drawing them closer to Christ and to their relationship with Christ, and also relationship with one another, because in this world, Christ and the Holy Spirit guides us through, but we need each other. You know, as Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, and woman, and men to women, and appropriately, you know, all that stuff. But it is truly, truly something that's been a part of his passion, and he is a national speaker, sought after all over the place, including right here this morning at Hillcrest. I'd like to invite my friend up, give him a warm welcome, Tom Henderson.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. Always fun to be invited back somewhere to speak. I don't take that lightly. It means I didn't screw up too much the first time or anything like that. So, well, it is great to be here. I'm going to, how do I do this? Look at that. It's almost like I know what I'm doing. Do you think I know what I'm doing? I really didn't there. But anyway, it's fun to be here. I do have an organization called Restoration Generation, and I'm going to get right into preaching the word. But before I do that, I do want to just mention real briefly a little bit more about this men's summit coming up, because God has just done amazing things over the last couple of years, and we're expecting 600 to 800 men this year for the men's summit. The skit guys are going to be there. I think we started the service with a skit from, or a personal invitation from them. Super excited about Ted Cunningham, who's a pastor and comedian out of Branson, Missouri, travels all over the country speaking as well. Wayne Simeon, who is a former KU All-American and played alongside LeBron and won a championship with the Miami Heat, is going to be here. Myself, and then one of my all-time mentors, a speaker and evangelist out of Portland, Oregon, John Garrick. So guys, man, make this a priority. There's going to be a huge group coming from Hillcrest, and as I've been sharing at churches and at men's breakfast, I've been saying, man, come together, have this shared experience together, and watch God do amazing things in your lives individually, but also collectively, as then you come back fired up and ready to do what God's called you to do here through Hillcrest. So, man, if you can make that a priority, January 26th, we're going to be having tickets available in the back all the way through January as well, but man, get signed up if you can. But this morning, I'm just excited to share on a topic that I think a lot of people, both in and out of the church, myself included, have struggled with at least at one time or another in our lives. And the topic is contentment. So as you think about contentment, let me ask you, when was the last time that you truly were content? Kind of a tough question to answer because we live in a culture that breeds discontentment, right? Oh, we totally do. I mean, just think about it from the technology side of things. Like every time I see a cell phone commercial, either on the television or in print or maybe on the big screen if I arrive at the movies early enough, every time I see a cell phone commercial, I think, man, you know what? My phone is too small. Or maybe it's too big, or man, my screen resolution isn't good enough, or maybe I really should switch to Android. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that. By the way, do we got some Android users in the All right, we'll pray for you. That's okay. That's okay. People are like, I'm offended. I'm leaving. But no, just, okay, and what about internet speeds? How fast does internet speed need to be until we're content? Have we forgotten where we've come from? Remember 20 years ago when we were all rocking and struggling with dial-up? No lie, I remember sending a picture of my oldest son, who's 17 now. I remember sending a picture via email to my mom when he was first born, and by the time she actually got the picture downloaded, he was already walking. That's how slow internet used to be. But even with the speeds today, we still find ourselves discontent. And the reality is that we live in a day, especially here in America, where we have more technology. We have more exciting entertainment choices. We have better restaurants. We have bigger houses. We have cooler things than we've ever had before in our lives. But yet, studies and statistics show us the same thing, that we're more discontent than ever. And the reason is because we're so simple, isn't it, to fall into the world's trap of believing that we can find contentment in things like possessions, or in wealth, in experiences, in fame, or in whatever other temporal thing. Now, are those things wrong or evil? No. There's nothing necessarily wrong or evil about having a nice house or a sweet ride or a growing bank account or even a new cell phone or even wanting those things to a certain level. But friends, listen, if those things are your source of contentment, if those things are your end goal, if those things are what consume your mind or your heart, then it's going to be impossible for you to ever be content. But you know, like that's not God's plan. That's not God's desire for you. No, in fact, it's actually the opposite. See, God desires for each of us, regardless of how young or old we are in this room today, to live a life where, as his children, we don't spend our days walking around or maybe wallowing around in a constant state of wanting more or even wanting less. A life that is not defined by our circumstances, or in other words, by what we have or what we don't have, or by our point of view, but instead is defined by our fulfillment and our satisfaction in him. The Apostle Paul, he puts it this way in Philippians chapter 4. He said, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything, Paul says, through Christ who gives him strength. You know why Paul could say this? Why he was so content? It's because he lived life and he saw life through God's point of view. See, his focus was about what he was supposed to do, not on what he had or what he felt like he should have. In other words, he was able to detach himself from the things that were temporal so that instead he could concentrate on what really mattered, and that was the eternal. And that's exactly the kind of contentment that God wants you and I to have each day of our lives as well. A contentment that's found in Christ that results in us having the same focus, the same satisfaction, the same joy, and the same reliance upon him regardless of the season of our lives. Because of that truth, if you walk away with one thing that I share with you today, I'm going to throw a lot at you. It's going to be a lot of scriptures. It's going to be a lot of hopefully keys that will help you in this whole area of contentment. But if you only walk away with one thing, remember one thing, I want you to remember this. True contentment is found only in Christ. True contentment is found only in Christ. Let me pray quickly for us, and then we're going to dive into it. God, I pray that you'd help us right now focus on you. God, I pray that we would be open to the power of your Holy Spirit moving in our lives in a very personal way. We've set aside this time to hear your voice, and so I pray that each of us would hear it loud and clear this morning, and that as we receive your word, we'll be impassioned to go and live it out. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to give you three keys that I think can help us, each one of us, in this whole area of contentment. And the first key is this. If we want to live content lives, it starts by committing each day to Christ. Daily contentment starts with daily commitment. Joshua 24:15 says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. And that service, friends, it begins when we commit each and every day to him. Of course, it's going to be a lot more difficult to commit each day to him if we haven't first recognized our need to commit our lives to him. So maybe that's where this whole quest for contentment really begins for you personally. Have you come to the point in your life where you've given your life over to him? See, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read that God has set eternity on the hearts of men. And what that means is that when you were created, okay, and you were created, and not only were you created, but you were created in his image, in the image of God. And because of that, until you quench your spiritual thirst, until you embrace what you were created for, until you satisfy the restless yearning that's been placed within you through a relationship with Jesus, a day-in, day-out, sin-forgiving, life-saving, purpose-giving relationship with Christ, until that happens, you will never, hear me, you will never experience contentment. There is no amount of money, no amount of accolades, teenagers, there's no amount of school records, there's no earthly pleasures, there's no perfect vacation that will do, because he is the only source. About 10 years ago, I was watching the news show 60 Minutes because I had reached the age of 30, and I thought that's what mature people did, was watch news programs. So that and Wheel of Fortune. So I was watching 60 Minutes, and on this particular day, there was an interview that was happening between the dude doing the interview and Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady at the time had just won his third championship ring. He's on his quest for a sixth. We'll see if it happens this year. But he was just getting ready to marry a supermodel, and the interviewer said this to Tom. He said, Tom, you're the winner of 3 Super Bowl rings. You've been an MVP in the NFL. You are going to marry a supermodel, and you have more money than you could ever spend, so what's left for you? Tom said, I don't know. I mean, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think that there's something greater out there for me? Maybe some people out there are saying, you've accomplished your dream, your goals, the fame. My life's complete. But I think, God, there's got to be more than this. What do you think that is, Tom? To which he replied, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I mean, I love playing football, and I love being the quarterback of this team, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm still trying to find. Tom Brady, one of the best athletes on the planet, who's accomplished everything that this world in this world that you could ever want, but yet contentment of heart still eluded him. Such a powerful example of what a philosopher and theologian, St. Augustine, said over 1,600 years ago. Look at this. Thou, O Lord, hast made us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. So, Tom, does that mean that if I commit my life to Christ, and all of a sudden I'll never feel discontentment again? No, I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you is that that's where true contentment begins. When you and I connect to the God who satisfies our soul, who forgives us of our sin, who gives us purpose and gives us the strength to look at our lives and the things of the world with the right perspective. Well, what about after we make that commitment to Christ? What does that commitment look like from that day forward? And again, that's going to look different from person to person, but let me tell you where it starts for me. It starts for me each day, as I wake up and before I put my 2 feet on the floor, and I say, today I choose you, Jesus. Today I choose you. Instead of just looking at you and admiring you from afar or carrying around merely as a label on my social media account, I choose you, regardless of whether I'm at work, I'm at home, I'm at the gym, I'm in a lunch meeting, wherever I'm at, I choose you. My focus is on you, which is the second key to us really conquering this quest of contentment. See, the first one is understanding our need to commit each day to Christ. And the second one is to choose to focus on Christ and on his kingdom. If you had to make a list right now, let me ask you, if you had to make a list right now of all the things you're pursuing in your life, what would be on the list? Now, if you evaluated those things, would you say that you're focused more on the things of earth and growing your personal kingdom, or on Christ and growing his? What if we were to ask those closest to you, what would they say? People like your spouse, your kids, your best friend, what would they say you're pursuing?
It's an important question to think about, because if you remember, Paul, the reason why he was so content was because regardless of his situation, he consistently stayed focused on Christ and on what was eternal. Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes this, "Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on the things of earth, which only have temporal value." Now, usually, if you're anything like me, when you see a passage like that, your mind immediately goes to things like money or material possessions, which makes sense because both Jesus and Paul talked about how those things are very simple for us to place our focus on and kind of build our identity around. But maybe for you, that's not where you're at right now. Maybe for you, the treasures that you are currently pursuing, the things that are currently owning your heart, your mind, are things more like notoriety or popularity. Maybe it's power or maybe it's other selfish ambitions. Regardless of what earthly treasures those are, though, Paul says we're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to flee from them. We're supposed to flee. Flee from pursuing all of this, he says, and instead pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. In other words, in an effort to become more like Jesus, which is the goal after we come into a relationship with him, we are to instead focus on and pursue the characteristics of Christ. Because the more we become like Jesus, the more our heart would become unified with him, and the more content we will be. Why? Because Jesus himself is contentment. So the more we become like Christ, it just makes more sense, the more content we'll be. I love what John D. Barry says. He's an editor of the Faith Life Bible and the Lexham Bible Dictionary. He said, "The difference between present gain and eternal gain is focus. Are we working towards the eternal good of God's work or the temporal good of our own success?" When we align ourselves with who God created us to be, his desires become our desires. So what does it look like? Let me give you a couple practical insights, okay? A couple of insights straight from Scripture to help you in your daily quest to focus on Christ and his kingdom. And by the way, as I share these, parents, these are phenomenal models for your kids. When you do these things speak way louder than any of the words that we share. So keep that in mind as I share these. The first thing, as we strive to focus on Christ and his kingdom, first one's just simply this. Spend devoted time with Jesus. Spend devoted time with Jesus. Matthew chapter 6 says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." Simply put, there is no better way to establish the focus of our day. Understand that he's the one that supplies all of our needs, that he's the one where we can find true contentment, than by spending time with him. I love that Hillcrest places a priority on equipping you with the Bible app and devotions in our weekly bulletins and all those kinds of things that help us focus our days and focus our lives around Jesus outside of the Sunday morning experience. There's something beautiful about congregating here together on a weekly basis, but there's also something beautiful when we do it outside of this time. When we open up our word, as we put Pandora worship on like we do in our house, and we sit in there, we're eating our Cheerios and eating our toast and whatever, and we're listening to worship. Why? Because it starts our day saying, our day is about Jesus, worshiping him regardless of where we're at and what we're doing. Nothing greater than just spending devoted time with Jesus each day. Second thing, resist comparing. I don't know about you, but one of the biggest things that gets in the way of me winning the constant battle of keeping my focus on the eternal and finding my contentment in Christ is when I start comparing myself with other people. Does anybody else struggle with that? Just me? Okay, that's okay. That's okay. This is more of a, I'm now just sharing testimony, I guess. But it's true, isn't it? Oh, it is so difficult when we start comparing ourselves with other people. This year, my neighbor across the street, he decided to redo all of his edging around the house. So he tore out all that black plastic tubing stuff, you know, that's supposed to keep all your rocks and all that. He tore all of that out, and he put down this beautiful etched concrete. It looks so sharp, so clean, so good. Before he did that, I didn't really care about my edging. Before he did that, I was perfectly fine that mine looked pretty wonky all over my house and that rocks spilled into my grass. But now when I look at his, you know what I find myself saying? I hate my edging, man. And I immediately started thinking, okay, what do I got to do to start saving so that I can have cool concrete edging like that? There's nothing wrong with concrete edging. But I found myself comparing to others, which ruined my contentment. Think about all the things that we compare ourselves to others about. Houses, cars, looks, strength, talents, families, vacations, trips, how busy we are, how many camps, how many athletic events do we have our kids involved in, popularity. Sometimes we even compare how spiritual we are. And of course, social media has taken this to a whole new level, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great things about social media, like how connected we can be with people around the world and how I can remember people's birthdays. But yet, there's a lot of other things that social media does as well. And the longer we spend on there, looking at people's highlight reels, it can also lead to some pretty dark places in the depths of our souls. Think about it. You get on Facebook, which the average American spends about 40 minutes a day on every day, and what do you see? Vacations, a new car, this kid's on the honor roll, your ex-girlfriend's got a new boyfriend. And the more that we look at it, the more discontent we feel because all of a sudden our house isn't good enough or their marriage seems better than mine or, gee, I wish I could have a date night, hashtag not blessed. And we begin to compare and compare and compare, and if we're not careful, envy, discouragement, and discontent begin to take root in our heart and grow. Write down this scripture if you're taking notes, Proverbs 14:30. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy, comparison, it makes the bones rot. So how do we do it? How do we resist comparing? Well, maybe you got to start by starving yourself of the things that are taking your focus off Christ. Maybe just for a time you got to fast from social media. Maybe for a time you've got to stop looking at ads on the internet or in the Sunday paper. Maybe you got to unsubscribe from some email list. Maybe you got to, you know, not go to the parade of homes this year or go to the boat show. Maybe you got to get real crazy and not go into Target or what I like to call Magnet for my wife. Or got to get real crazy and not go to Costco. Okay, which if you know me, you know how much pain that pains me to even say, don't go to Costco because I love Costco, okay? Maybe we got to get crazy and make some difficult decisions to keep us from playing the comparison game and have our contentment robbed. Another thing that I think it's important for us to remember is that when Jesus looks at you, you know, he doesn't compare you to anybody else. He just looks at you. He doesn't look at you and compare you to others. He looks at you and you know what he says to you? He says, stop looking at everybody else. Instead, look me in the eyes. Don't look at them, look at me. Find your contentment in me. And the third thing is to give to kingdom work. There's just something about when we give to the work of Christ through the local church, sponsoring children, these different kinds of things of how God can use our dollars to invest in kingdom work that helps us keep an eternal perspective. Last key, and then I'm done for the morning. The first key was committing each day to Christ. Second key was choosing to focus on Christ and his kingdom. And the third key is connecting others to Jesus. Jesus, in teaching us in how we are to pray, Matthew chapter 6, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the coolest things about this prayer is that we are a part of seeing God's kingdom come to this earth. And you know how we do that? It's when we connect other people to Jesus. Speaking about our salvation, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. He says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. See, God is making his appeal through us. In other words, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. One of my favorite things on the planet is to give gifts. Man, I love finding the perfect gift or what I think is the perfect gift for another person, especially for my wife, Laura. Simply, there is just nothing better when I present her a gift with anticipation and it's received with joy. And her eyes light up, and I can tell from the minute that she opens that box that she loves it. And immediately, and I see that, the inside of me just kind of do this little happy dance on the inside. Sometimes if I'm super happy, I'll even bust it out on the outside, because there's just nothing better than presenting that perfect gift. But no matter the satisfaction and the feeling of I did it, no matter the level of that satisfaction, nothing compares to the satisfaction to when I am able to connect another person to Jesus, to share about the contentment that they too can find in Christ. Paul understood this, which is why even in prison, he was trying to do everything he could to connect others from the inmates to the jailers to Jesus. I've learned the secret of being content, said Paul. I can do all things through Christ, even be content through Christ who strengthens me. So my question for you this morning is, as I end my time, is what's God saying to you? What's he saying to you this morning? Maybe today it's the day that you finally take that step and you say, I want to commit my life to Jesus. I want to start finding my contentment in him, and I want that to start today. Maybe for others of you, it's a commitment to, as we head into 2019, to strive to do a better job of committing each day to him and focusing more on the eternal things instead of the temporal things of earth. Maybe this week you're gonna really set a plan to say, you know what, this year is about connecting other people to Christ, connecting other people to the source of contentment, whether that be through inviting them to this great church, Hillcrest. Or maybe it's, as a guy, you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to go to the summit, and I'm going to bring another guy with me. Maybe it's you're going to say, I'm going to commit to having more conversations about Jesus on a daily basis. What's God saying to you? Because true contentment, friends, is found only in Christ. Let me pray for us. Father, the message that we've listened to, it's not an easy one to digest, because it causes us to really think about where we're putting our focus, where we're placing our contentment, our satisfaction, our happiness, our joy, all those kinds of things. But God, as I pray that as we end our time here and we transition into communion, God, I pray that as we've received the word, that we wouldn't just be hearers of it, but that we would be doers of it. Your word in James chapter 2 says that we're not just supposed to hear it and do nothing with it, but that we're supposed to allow those seeds of truth to firmly implant themselves in our heart, that they are to grow now and compel us to do something with it. So God, I pray that you would give us courage, that you would give us the faith to step forward and do whatever you are calling us to do with this message. God, I pray that if there are people here that have not committed their lives to Christ, God, I pray that this morning would be that morning, that they would take it upon themselves to come and talk with me or Pastor Doug or Pastor Brian or Pastor Trina. Come and talk with us about that decision and how they can get started in their relationship with you. God, I pray that we'd all resist the comparison game, and that 2019 would be a year that we find our true contentment and our satisfaction in you and in you alone. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Doug.
Thanks, Tom. He'll